Good morning, I'm Mike Horace with your WCMU Morning News Roundup for Friday, May 15th. About 200 to 300 protesters gathered yesterday in front of the state capitol building to protest Governor Gretchen Whitmer's handling of the coronavirus outbreak. There was a heightened police presence after people showed up at previous demonstrations with guns. Some people had waved Confederate flags and swastikas. Joe Calamia says he's been to the other demonstrations and thinks the news coverage was overblown. He says this rally was low-key in comparison to the earlier ones.
There's no Confederate flags, there's no swastikas, so I'm satisfied this is a pretty, you know, peaceful demonstration. There's a few people with rifles, but no one's getting shot, so.
There was a brief altercation between two people. The Michigan State Police say an axe was confiscated. Governor Whitmer says large gatherings could result in new waves of infections and a return to stricter stay-home orders. Following that protest yesterday, WCMU's Tess DeGaynor spoke with a health official in Northwest Michigan about their concerns that people, they're going to large gatherings and then traveling home.
Officials say people have the right to protest, but gathering in groups to demonstrate their message is a cause for concern. Josh Meyerson is the medical director for the Northwest Michigan Health Department.
Anytime you get a large number of people gathered together in an enclosed space, I think you're increasing the chance of disease transmission. And because wearing a mask is not 100% protective of you, or certainly if you're sick, it's not going to keep you from potentially transmitting the disease.
Meyerson says protesting outdoors poses less of a risk compared to protesting in an enclosed building. But he says people should consider following the state recommendations. Tess DeGaynor, WCMU News.
Michigan nurses have announced their support of Governor Gretchen Whitmer's use of executive powers during the coronavirus outbreak. Republican lawmakers sued the governor last week, alleging that her extension of the stay-at-home order was unlawful. Now the Michigan Nurses Association has filed an amicus brief in the case showing its support for the governor. Jamie Brown is with the association. She says at least 21 healthcare workers have died from coronavirus and that the governor's actions have helped protect people.
Until you actually experience a family member dying, it's not going to hit you as personally as it is the healthcare workers right now, because we're the ones taking care of these patients and they're not making it, and there's nothing we can do to stop it.
Brown says she understands people's frustration with staying home, but says it's a matter of life or death for healthcare workers. Michigan lawmakers are getting a first look today at projected state revenues for 2021. The coronavirus pandemic has severely diminished sales and property tax revenues, which are the main funding sources for K-12 schools. Kevin Lavery reports.
In March, the coronavirus bore down on Michigan in full force, shuttering businesses across the state and evaporating sales tax revenue to a trickle. Now, as the May consensus revenue estimating conference begins, budget analysts are delivering oblique financial forecasts. That's bad news for Michigan schools. Randy Liapa is the superintendent of the Wayne County Regional Educational Service Agency. He says educators are pressing federal and state lawmakers to find ways to help with the impending school funding shortfalls. That includes dipping into the Michigan Rainy Day Fund.
We know that they can utilize a portion of those, and I can't think of a rainier day than what we're facing right now.
Wayne Schmidt is a Republican from Traverse City and chairs the Senate K-12 Appropriations Subcommittee. He says using the state's billion-dollar-plus reserve won't resolve the problem.
Even if we were to use all of the rainy day fund, it still wouldn't plug the hole in the K-12 budget, let alone the rest of the state budget.
Schmidt says early predictions show K-12 schools could lose as much as one quarter of its funding in 2021. This week, U.S. House Democrats introduced a massive $3 trillion bill dubbed the HEROES Act. The sprawling omnibus earmarks $90 billion for the Department of Education to distribute to state K-12 systems. The House could vote on the package as early as today, but its course is less certain in the GOP-led Senate. Senator Schmidt calls himself an eternal optimist. He'd like to see federal dollars too, but that's not his plan A.
We can't bank on that. We need to make sure that our budgets are balanced with the revenues that we have.
As lawmakers sit down to crunch the numbers, K-12 education will be just one of a myriad of competing interests looking for their share. By law, Michigan's budget must be finished by October 1st. I'm Kevin Labrie.
Coronavirus outbreaks in U.S. meatpacking plants have added to disruptions in the nation's food supply chain. The beef and pork shortages are also driving up prices, but that's not so for the Michigan poultry industry. Patrick Center reports.
We have actually a surplus of turkey meat right now, both in Michigan and across the country.
West Michigan turkey farmers process more than 5 million birds annually, generating 220 million live pounds, about 60% sold to the food service industry for restaurants and schools, and 40% to retail customers, much of it for ground and deli meat. Brian Borichter is CEO of Michigan Turkey.
Our prices are quite historically depressed right now. It doesn't seem like the impact has been as great on the poultry processing facilities as it's been on some of the other industries.
Pork and beef, where processing has been disrupted by COVID-19 outbreaks.
Is this an opportunity for the industry?
We are starting to see some signs of increases in orders, especially in our retail customers, as this shortfall has become more publicized. One of our largest customers is Costco, and we've seen their orders increase quite drastically over the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Orders welcomed by the 16 farmers forming the cooperative Michigan Turkey Producers at two Grand Rapids facilities. Recently, one of them experienced a COVID-19 outbreak. It was closed for 3 days, and associates were tested. Borchter tells us aggressive safety measures are in place, including barriers protecting workers and the supply of turkey meat. I'm Patrick Center.
One West Michigan university with plans for holding in-person classes this fall will do so with an added safety feature. It's forging a first-of-its-kind partnership with a laboratory that will test all students and faculty for COVID-19 before the beginning of the fall semester. Michelle Jokish-Polo has more.
As colleges and universities are struggling to figure out whether they can hold in-person classes in the fall, Calvin University is planning to screen all faculty, staff, and students for COVID-19 before returning to campus in the fall. President of Calvin University, Michael Leroy, says Helix Diagnostics will be providing 5,000 COVID-19 tests. The partnership is the first of its kind in the state of Michigan.
And so our goal here was to first reduce the risk of the burst of transmission as everybody gathered again, you know. And the second was to make sure that there weren't any folks who had low-grade symptoms that were being ignored.
Leroy did not disclose how much the testing will cost the university, but did say there are donors who want to ensure Calvin University students get the opportunity to experience life on campus.
We believe we're small enough to be able to identify infection and then contact trace and isolate infected or exposed individuals. And so we know we've been doing that. We've done that in the past with other diseases. We're a small enough community where we feel that we can do that.
The university will plan to only use 4,000 tests for the initial screening and will have 1,000 tests left to use throughout the year, and is working on creating plans for immunocompromised faculty, staff, and students. If Governor Gretchen Whitmer's Stay Safe, Stay Home order continues to the fall, Calvin will not be holding in-person classes. I'm Michelle Jokish-Polo.
Former United Auto Workers President Gary Jones was arraigned on Thursday on charges arising from a federal investigation into corruption within the union. We have more from Virginia Gordon.
The arraignment comes more than 2 months after Jones was charged with conspiracy involving embezzlement of union dues, racketeering, and tax evasion. The charges could bring up to 10 years in prison and up to $500,000 in fines. The court entered a plea of not guilty for Jones at the arraignment. Jones has a plea hearing scheduled for June 3rd. The details of a possible plea agreement are still unknown. Jones is one of 14 people charged in the UAW corruption scandal. 13 have pleaded guilty. I'm Virginia Gordon.
And that is your WCMU Morning News Roundup for this Friday, the 15th day of May, 2020. I'm Mike Horace. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great weekend. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk again on Monday morning.